When news of the terrorist attacks reached me, I was at Norcroft Writing Retreat in Lutzen, Minnesota, very far away from the Bay Area, from my community of support, and fairly isolated from the media barrage. But even so, what struck me the most and what made up the bulk of my first response was the sense of outraged innocence. Not that such things should happen, but they should happen to us. That somehow in the United States we should be immune from the kind of suffering that our own government inflicts on the rest of the world. I was also in preparation for the High Holy Days of the Jewish calendar and had in my mind and in my heart the prayer that begins, Shema, Yisrael, listen, Israel, God is our God, God is one. I rephrase that as, listen, people, life is sacred and all the living are one. Shema. Hear this. While the generals panting peruse their lists of countries to bomb in the sacred cause of reestablishing that their collective dick is bigger than that of any pissant, terrorist-wielding, dark-faced dictator in a tent, while the same men who have plotted invasion after invasion of sovereign lands, bombed cities into rubble on every inhabited continent, called the deaths of children an acceptable sacrifice, kidnapped, killed, and replaced the leaders of other countries with nothing but admiration for their own maneuvers, hear this. While these men diagram the next war into which they will drag us, using our fear as gasoline, using our grief as lubricant, wake up. America the dutiful, wake up from the mall-driven dream of snug security, the fraudulent, flag-wrapped lifetime warranty of the good life, just out of reach but surely coming to us all, even the ragged homeless in our streets, American ragged in American streets, surely more pure in poverty, more blessed than the beggars of Bangkok or Bombay. Wake up and see the shocked eyes of 100,000 dead Iraqi children watch as the fiery birds of war come home to roost. Hear, O people, the warriors are many, war is one. There is nothing to separate this fiery falling of buildings from the buildings that have fallen in flame under the weight of ordnance made in factories just down the road from each of us. The jets filled with ordinary people turned into unwilling missiles were forged, rolled, cut, riveted, welded in the same factories by the same billionaire wingmakers whose jets burned the sky over Baghdad, Panama City, Grenada, the Mekong. What should surprise us that other residents of soot-choked cities, other heart-ripped mourners of civilian dead, other anguished, enraged people should be swept up in a whirlwind of revenge? What have they done to us that so many hateful, hysterical voices blare over the radios of our nation as if we were the only human beings on earth and we alone, when we are burned, scream? Never forget, we were taxpayers in Egypt. Imagine if we, his armies, his consenting majority, had said to Pharaoh, we will not be wielded against any more enslaved people, any more unwilling subjects, any more laborers of the pyramid maquiladoras in the name of your golden sarcophagus. You have put us in harm's way. The angry gods of the conquered do not distinguish between kings and their subjects. We will not drown for you. Hear, O people, the man on television surprised by devastation into saying that Manhattan looked to him that night just like Beirut, as if only Beirut is supposed to look that way. Imagine Beirut is your home, and it has looked like this for as long as you can remember. Imagine you know that untouchable nation across the sea has everything to do with your ruined city, and then look again. From the other side of the table, at Manhattan streets full of rubble, Manhattan sending up plumes of smoke, and imagine what you might feel. Listen to the indignant woman from Pennsylvania who wants to know why she was not protected from this, who fell down on the job, who demands to know why the people of the greatest nation on earth are not immune from the tragedies spawned in the ready rooms of our leaders. Hear the call of the ram's horn and rouse yourselves from the dream of comfort into the cold light of day. It is better to be awake than comfortable. The illusion was bought on credit, and the street children of Brazil are our creditors. Our creditors are the elders of Nigerian villages bulldozed by Chevron's private armies, Colombian coal miners gunned down for saying union to Drummond Company Incorporated, Coal Kings of Alabama, by thugs paid for in the name of a fictitious war on drugs. Our creditors are the drowning island nations of the Pacific, disappearing in a warm and rising sea, begging us to stop using so much more energy than we need, inching their houses closer together on their vanishing land, while Disney's electric circus sparkles and dazzles to the delight of shrieking children sticky with candy and ignorance, and late-night television hawkers peddle gadget after gadget that does with electricity what, for the sake of our suffering neighbors, we could do with our hands. Our creditors are the millions of oil-dead, ravaged nations of refugees whose lives stood on the path of insatiable greed, who were considered collateral damage, cost of production, to expand the already swollen bank accounts of the obscenely rich. Do people burn villages for profit and then buy television moments to tell us their compassionate corporate nature has saved a tiny butterfly called a Mission Blue? People do. We did not sign these mortgages on our futures, but our names were placed on the deeds, and we will be asked to pay. Here, O bystanders, certain of your innocence, not one of the passengers, flight crew, office workers, firefighters deserve to die, and neither are we innocent. We have inherited the hatred of whole continents of the hungry, been persuaded to accept the leftovers of their looted wealth as our civilized due, taught to think of it as just a higher standard of living, as if our shrinking ability to pay $35 for blue jeans made by a girl in Honduras for 85 cents was the result of a better upbringing, of our impeccable taste, and not the random fortune of being born under the coattails of empire. We are the heirs to the hatred our corporate masters earn faster than interest, the invisible column in their quarterly reports, and upon us will fall the fiery hand of the desperate. Hear this. The lost humanity of the hijackers and the blazing deaths of the hijacked have already been calculated into the annual overheads, figured into the budgets of business as usual, and the boards of directors have said, Amen. Wake up, O people, to the voices of our missing kin. We have been lulled into forgetting them. We are the grandchildren of starving Irish tenants, kidnapped Senegalese teenagers and Ghanaian farmers, refugees from wars between petty fiefdoms and principalities of Europe and the drafts of the Tsar's armies. We are the descendants of English serfs and sheep shearers, fled from the pillage of the common lands. We are the children of daughters sold to traders for food and sold again to strangers, dead of syphilis at 20. The children of Cantonese stowaways and Swedish orphans, of sailors pressed into service and servants oppressed and indentured, of children wasted into pale shreds at the loom, of foot-weary Neapolitan fruit vendors and raw-knuckled Polish laundresses, Puerto Rican seamstresses, and shtetl shirtmakers from Belarus. We are the children of Norwegian and Bavarian loggers clear-cutting white pine from the landscape for a pittance, and Portuguese codfishers emptying the grand banks for a crust, of Cornish colliers coughing up blood in Sierra Nevada mines, and Scots Cherokee miners buried alive in Kentucky coal shafts. We are the offspring of French fur trappers and Huron leather workers, smallpox survivors and relocated Choctaw singers, Mexican war widows who walked to El Paso one step ahead of the armies, and Vietnamese families forever missing their children dead along the long way out of horror. If we are also the children of slaveholders and Indian agents, factory overseers, paper mill millionaires, and railroad robber barons, then we are the long-sleeping conscience that can wake and shake the family tree. Hear, O people, this is the now. This is the day our ancestors dreamed they would be the ancestors of. Our ancestors who are the cause of the eight-hour day, of social security and workers' compensation, of public libraries and cooperatives, of weekends and sick leave and the right to bargain, of there being anywhere to turn, and of the vestiges of a free press still speaking in the nooks and crannies of the corporate monotone drone they call news. The freedom we have pledged our allegiance to does not yet exist, and wherever the seedlings of it are green, it is because we, the people, planted. We are the custodians of freedom, not the barking voices of the warmakers. The safety they tell us we have lost because of maniacal Muslims from a faraway land was never real. Most of the people in this country are not safe. Many cannot walk down the street without being pulled over for being brown and perhaps shot, cannot open the window without breathing cancer, cannot go to work without soaking up birth defects, cannot turn on the television without being lied to, cannot get healing when they are sick, no matter how sick they are, cannot do work that makes them proud to do it, because all they can get paid for is taking out the trash of others and making the parts that keep the machines of others running. Can expect no destination except prison, because that is the only space that has been left vacant for them. Liberty and justice for all is a rag shot full of exceptions. We children of 1,000 nations gathered in this homeland of hope and horror, bribed with hot and cold running water, electric pencil sharpeners, and the pre-recorded cheerleaders' chant that we are the best, best, best in the world, we have been hypnotized by the fantasy that we are the freest of all people to quietly accept the coup of the unelected and the ravaging of the planet. We are passengers in a car driven by men drunk with plunder, ricocheting through the world, leaving trails of devastation. We are the ones who must take the wheel, stop this hurtling death ride, downshift into decency, not because we are wiser than the crushed and bleeding in the streets, but because we are here. We are not the designated drivers of the world, but we are designated to stop what we can reach. Right now, as the men in the soundproof rooms demand war, demand retaliation against insolent unknowns who dare to boomerang bloodshed back into their spanking clean boardrooms, now while the networks juxtapose burning buildings and smiling Muslim faces, getting us ready to accept whichever Middle Eastern war target they choose to be their nation of expendable accomplices to crime, this is the moment to ask these men who finance death squads around the world and stand in the floodlights declaring they will not tolerate terrorism. What have you done in our name that anyone should wish us such harm? If we have not known, this is the time to know. If we have been unwitting, this is the time to gather our wits. If we have allowed ourselves to be overwhelmed by the delusion that we are helpless, the machine all-powerful, and the state of the world best left to others, most of them unborn. If we have fallen into the blank narcotic dream of our insignificance, settled for the late-night promise of an exciting career in dental hygiene or the thrill of a nicely packed 401k and a remodeled kitchen, if we have fallen to our knees under the blows of complacency and ridicule, it is not too late to forgive ourselves and rise. Now is the time to quit the comforting drug of let it be cold turkey and rise up shaking from the floors of our spirits with all of our ancestors around us. Today is the day to insist that this nation, rooted in conquest and slavery, rooted in rebellion and righteousness, renew the meaning of our union and become what we have never been, except in the speeches of politicians. Make true the proclamations of the senators, and let us serve notice upon the duly incorporated and legally registered true and trademark terrorists who, to our undying outrage, have launched themselves from U.S. soil, protected by U.S. armies, backed by U.S. money and U.S. law. Cut their budget of tolerance and cash, for they have embezzled our honor to finance a wave of crime against humanity. Hog-tie the global bullies who have raised such hatred by their acts that this tsunami of helpless rage has been hurled against the members of our families. Hold the bandits responsible for each beloved face gone in the backlash of international loathing. We do not absolve those desperate men of the murders of our people, but we also name the killers of their peace. We know who it was that robbed them of everything but desperation, who taught them to trust weaponry, who treated their lives with such contempt that they grew contemptuous of ours. Shema, people of the United States of America, infinitely divisible under their thumbs, infinitely courageous, humble, and just within our hearts, heirs to the struggles of 100,000 righteous, ordinary people, what peace will we make and with whom? There is untold wealth hidden among us. Wally, who is having bad dreams of Pearl Harbor and is wrestling to find compassion for people he doesn't understand and doesn't want them dead before he finds it, who says out loud, I have fought in 3 wars and I don't want this one. Lucille, who lost her husband under rubble, a firefighter, and wants no fires set in his name to ravage any other life. Jules, who survived the deaths of 6 million of his relatives and has gone to stand in front of a mosque and prevent harm. Kim, who says, I don't know much, but I know this. Those towers were golden symbols of wealth in a hungry world, and I won't wave a flag till everyone has eaten. Eric, who had a brother on that plane load of people who refused to be used as weapons, and says, if he can be that brave, so can I. I will not be hurled at anyone's home. A murdered poet in a land of volcanoes has told us, all together they have more death than we, but all together, every single heart beating in every time zone, desiring more than anything if the truth be told, the shared bread of justice and the laughter of the ones we love. All together, he said before he died, one and one and one and one, we have more life, more life. More life than they. Hear, O people, this is our hope, and our hope is one.
Aurora Levins Morales, reading from her new book of poetry, Shema, Writings on Love and War. She can be reached at remediocenter@aol.com. That's remediocenter@aol.com. You've been listening to her reading on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein.
And that does wrap it up for another edition of Flashpoints, which airs every weekday and is produced by Dennis Bernstein, with associate producers Yun Su and Leslie Kane, and contributing producer Robert Knight. Our technical directors are Mary Bishop and Ranjit Giesler. We've had assistance this week from Christopher Martinez. For a taped copy of this broadcast, call 510-848-6767, extension 625. An archive of our recent shows can be heard on the web at www.flashpoints.net. Many thanks to John Lionheart, our webmaster, and thank you for listening.